One of the worst things y'all could have done got me happy. Because when I do that, I normally preach about an hour and a half. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that was good. Boy, you can thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today. And I want to say thank you for the freedom to worship. Amen. I hate to be able to say amen, praise the Lord, cry a little bit. I'm just glad nobody took off running and hurt me. But I'm just glad to be here. I hope you are. I've talked to a few people this morning. Some people had a hard time getting up this morning. How many of you had a hard time getting up this morning? I ain't going to talk bad about you, but you should be excited about getting up on the Lord's Day. Amen. I mean, you get to come hear me preach today. That's supposed to be funny. But I do want to share God's Word with you today. God's laid something on my heart. And actually, He's been putting this message on my heart, not necessarily for y'all, but He chose it to be for y'all. But it's something that He put on my heart a few weeks back. And it came from the song that I was introduced to. I was talking to somebody, and we was talking about just how much God loves us. And they introduced me to a song, and when I say it, if you know it, raise your hand. It's a song, Reckless Love, by Corey Asbury. And they told me that, because we was talking about just how much God really loves us. And I mean, folks, we really don't know how much, and I'm going to try to help you to understand that a little bit. And when I heard that song, I just started boo-hooing. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you are reckless with your love towards us. Not that God's irresponsible, by no means. But God took no thought for Himself. I mean, He actually went out on a limb for us, folks, to prove to us that He loved us, and He has done so much to prove that He loves us, and it's like He had no thought for His own life, no thought for being treated brutally and being crucified the way He was. And I mean, God took a chance on us that we would love Him back. And that song just touched me, and God began to just start working in my life and my heart about just how much God loves me. And I mean, my parents love me. They have to, because I'm wonderful, you know. And my wife loves me because I'm great, you know. But God loves me even though I'm bad. And I want to take you to a passage of Scripture I hope you're familiar with and you understand it a little bit. It's in the book of John. It's in chapter 3. And it's verse 16. I hope you're familiar with it. And if God allows me today, I want to try to bring out that verse to you in a way that you've never seen it before. Because it's a verse that depicts the love of God, not towards good people, but to the vilest of sinners, which I once was and still am a sinner. But my sins have been atoned for. Amen. I'm forgiven. Glory to God. I love that song. I'm forgiven. How many of y'all ever feel bad about your sins? Beat you down, make you feel bad, make you think you're worthless, useless, God can't use you. Try to feel that way and then preach. But I'm forgiven. When God looks at me, folks, He don't see Michael Horn in his sins. Glory to God, He sees the blood. Hallelujah. He sees, He looks down and He sees what took place on Calvary's Hill. He sees what took place when I was a 12-year-old boy at Walnut Grove Baptist Church. He still sees me on my knees at times saying, God, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. He sees His Son, not my sins. Amen. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father God, I love You. And Lord, the only way I can love You is You to let me know who You are and what You are. And God, You're more to me than I could ever describe. You mean more to me, God, than I can ever express. All I know, God, is You're the greatest thing that's ever happened to my life. God, you're more important to me than life itself. And God, you've called me into a ministry that I'm unworthy to do. You've asked me, Lord, to speak to people that, Lord, I have a problem even dealing with people. But God, I'm here today to share a word, to tell this group here today just how much you love them. And God, help me to express words not of eloquence, since I'm not concerned with all that, but Lord, with compassion, heartfelt love, that these people can truly understand and walk out of here this day feeling loved by you. God, wrap your arms around us today. Encourage us. Strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to understand and know about this thing called love. I pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. You know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a passage of Scripture. I remember when I was in Fruitland Bible College, and you have to preach in what they call the pit. And when you listen to Dr. Kenneth Rodins every day and Dr. Raymond Whitfield every day, and they're trying to help these guys learn how to preach and study the Word of God and being inspired by God. But what they require of you, that you preach in front of them, and you preach in front of your upper and your lower classmates, and your classmates grade you. They grade you on your outline. They grade you on your delivery, and they do all that stuff, you know. And I was told, and they do anything they can to make you nervous, you know. And I was told that one thing you don't never do when you're preaching in the pit, or really preaching in front of Kenneth Rodins, because he has 85 sermons on John 3:16. They said never preach John 3:16 in front of Kenneth Rodins. Well, folks, I'm going to just let you know, God's a very challenging God, and he put that message upon my heart. And so when it was my time to preach in the pit, which is about 5 or 6 weeks later after they told me, and God began to deal with me about what I'm going to preach, well, he laid John 3:16 on my heart, and the first thing I said, God, you're crazy. I am not preaching this passage of message. I'm not going to preach this. I will not preach this. You're going to have to do something else. I delayed that, and God finally put them on. No, you're going to preach this. And so I began to prepare for the sermon, and God just began to lay a message out for me. And I remember I was standing outside the classroom that day, and I had to preach, and I'd been sick, folks, and I don't want to gross you out, but I was throwing up. I had diarrhea. I was nervous, as you can imagine. I mean, I'm sick. I'm sick up there. I'm on sick the days before. I'm sick. Matter of fact, I was that way for about a year and a half when I got into the ministry. I got sick every time I had to preach. Man, I was just so nervous, you know. I took zeros in school because I wasn't going to get in front of nobody and talk. But anyway, I remember standing out there that day, and I was going out to preach, and I'm nervous, and people was kind of ragging you and picking on you. Oh, yeah, going to preach today. We're going to really hammer you. You know, we're going to get you good. And I was trying to comfort myself, and I said, oh, it ain't nothing but a thing. It's just preaching, you know. And everybody, I said, oh, they're going to get you. You know, you old country hick, they're going to get you bad, you know. I thought to myself, oh, man, they ain't nothing. That's just Ken and Raymond. They ain't nobody there. Man, my daddy's a preacher. Man, I've been around preachers all my whole life. It ain't no big thing, you know. Yet the whole time I'm sweating. I'm scared. And old Raymond walked up. He said, you're preaching in the pit today, ain't you, Michael? I said, yeah. He said, oh, Kenneth's going to get you. He's going to get you. I said, man, I ain't worried about you. I said, all of y'all make mistakes. Y'all say things wrong, do things wrong. And I said, Raymond, when you preach, I said, you act like a maniac. You get up here and go, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm doing that, you know. And I'm doing that because I'm scared to death, you know. And I said, Kenneth ain't no different. I said, Kenneth gets up there and he throws his elbow on that table and he does his hand like that. I said, them big old fat jaws is going back and forth. We're doing his head like that. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around and it's Kenneth. He said, you're preaching in the pit today, ain't you, Michael? I said, yes, sir. By the way, man, I preached a wonderful message that day, not because I did it, because God laid it upon my heart. Kenneth said, I want that outline. I'm going to use that one. And it was good. But God laid a different thought on my heart about this same passage of Scripture. And it's a way that I think it's a blessing, not because I'm delivering it, because God laid it upon my heart to deliver it to you today. And I want to use this because it's a passage of Scripture that people say it's salvation in a nutshell. And it really is. It's like the miniature Bible. But it's a passage of Scripture, folks, that it shows us just how much we're loved, and it shows us, even though we can be bad sometimes, and even though that we don't give God the praise and the glory and the honor and the love and the dedication that He deserves, it does not change the fact how God feels about us. And that's what makes it so wonderful when you look at this, you know. And now, God don't like sin, folks. I'm going to just tell you that. I'm not telling you today you just go out there and sin and live any way you want to. God's going to love you and everything's going to be fine. No, God's going to whoop you if you sin. I mean, He's a parent. Amen. He's a father. And any parent that's good, if their kid's going out there doing disobedient things, they're going to be punished. God disapproves sin, but He loves the sinner. Amen. He loves us. And we should always remember that there's nothing you could ever do to change the fact that God loves you. How many of you here today are parents? Raise your hand if you're a parent. Now, how many of you disapprove of your kids doing sometimes? Amen. They get you so mad sometimes you just say, like, you want to be like my wife said, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out of this world. But you can't do that. But when your kids do things wrong, they backtalk, they're disobedient, just blatantly disobeys what you do, it never changes the fact how much you love your child, does it? God loves us at all times. Every day, every way, God loves us. And here's what I want you to get today. Never lose the excitement nor the amazement that there is in the very fact that God loves you all the time. Y'all remember when you were courting? I said courting to impress the old folk, you know what I mean? You did everything you could to try to impress each other. Well, let me tell you something, folks. God did His very best to try to impress you, to get you to understand how much He loves you. And when you get back and you think about the cross of Calvary, and when you think about all that God's done from the time of the cross of Calvary, really before the foundation of the world, all that God's done, and even all that God's doing you today, it ought to amaze you at His love. You ought to be like old John Newton. Oh, wretched sinner he was. He understood that God's grace is truly amazing, ain't it? And it really is that God's amazing. God, John, he said, I'm a wretched man. He said, I'm a man that's disrespected. He's a disrespectful man depicted. He just said, I'm a bad person, wretched old man. And the word wretched means that he's a dejected man, that he's a depressed man, he's disheartened. He just said, man, I am useless, I'm worthless, I have no value. He's a wretched sinner. But he said, in that state, I began to understand and know the amazing grace of God, the love of God. Oh, don't never lose the wonderment. Don't never lose the joy, the excitement that there is in knowing that God loves you at all times in your life. The Bible teaches us under the law we must die. There's a penalty for sin, folks, and the Bible says it's death. The Bible tells us, He lays out that penalty before sin, before man ever sinned. God said there's a penalty. He said, don't eat of that tree. If you do, you will surely die. And they did. And ever since that time that there's been a penalty for the sins of mankind and its death. But God in His love and God in His grace, He said, I want a way to bring man back to me. I want to be united with man. I want to have a fellowship with man. I want a loving relationship with man. And so God provided a lamb that day in the garden. And God provided a lamb that day on the cross of Calvary. And His name's Jesus. To prove to you, to prove to me, to prove to the world out there that don't even are not even concerned about Him, that He loves them. And He loves them more than they could ever stand and understand this morning. Today the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The older I get, the more I understand how important it is to be reconciled to people. We hurt each other's feelings at times. We make each other mad at times. There's separations in our lives at times. But folks, there's no use in living life with heartache and hurt over broken relationships. Find a way to reconcile. Find a way to let God bring that joy, that peace back in your heart and your life. I know that some people can't live together. I understand that. And I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about as a brother and sisters in Christ, family and friends. Reconcile your differences while you have life in you. Because once they've passed, or once you've passed, there's no more reconciliation. Only that with God. Reconciliation means that God's calling back. He's wanting to bring back that which has been estranged, that which has been broken, that which has been separated. And I want you to know, folks, you and I didn't do the work. God did the work, and He started that work on Calvary's cross. And that death that Jesus Christ died that day of is a death of atonement. It's a death that God says, I want to bring people back to me. I want my love, the apple of my heart, and my eye to come back to me. But man would not. Man would not come to God, so God came to man on Calvary's tree. Thank God. There's only one way that we can have a good fellowship with God, and that's the way God find a way to reconcile us. And He did through Jesus Christ. Today I want to break this verse down for you right quick. Where's y'all's clock at? You mean to tell me y'all not putting me on a time limit or nothing? Well, I'm going to put one down here. And man, y'all ain't got but 20 minutes now. All right. Y'all heard of ready golf? We're going to do some ready preaching, all right? Here we go. In John 3:16, one of the first things you're going to find that the love I'm talking about is a love that's infinite. What I mean, it has no boundaries. It has no limitations. God loves you in such a way, folks, that you will never, ever be able to comprehend just how much He loves you. Because, see, we love on human standards and human conditions. We love and we see and we feel and we hear and we understand the way that we do. And the only way I can really express to you the best way that we can understand the human love is the love of a mother has for a child. I brought to that to you in our introduction how mothers love their children and how you will always love your child no matter what they do. But who in this world can really explain and depict the depth of a mother's love? There's no way that you can understand that unless you're the mother. There's no way that you can understand from mother to mother how deep their love is for their child. So in a quick way for you to try to understand how much God loves you, the love of a mother, don't even begin to compare the love that God has for you. It's limitless. It has no boundaries. There's no way it can be measured. I mean, when I speak of infinite, it means it has no time duration. It's from everlasting, from the past, from everlasting to the future. There's no way that it can be measured because there's not a spot to start measuring it from. It's endless. It's also endless and infinite because God is infinite. Where did God start? Answer that. Can you tell me where God's beginning is? Can you tell me where God's end's going to be? None of us, the greatest theologians that's ever been known to mankind, can never tell you where did God start from, where God ends at. There's no beginning of God and there's no ending of God. God is infinite. And if God is infinite, then that means God is love. And if God is love, then God's love is limitless. Measure that. You can't. His love is infinite. You can never measure it. You can never understand it. All you can do is accept it, amen. Receive it. Glory to God and feel it and know it and understand it. And it excites you when you get a hold of it. It's endless, intimate, and infinite. Oh, it's amazing. And God's love, listen, folks, it's perfect. It's perfect. Now, my wife loves me because I'm amazing. Now, I've said some things, and y'all say, well, you an arrogant thing. No, I'm just telling you that because I'm really being sarcastic because I'm a terrible person. She's the better one. Amen. She loves me really because I love her back. I quit loving my wife and quit showing her affection and quit acting like I love her. Well, you know what's going to happen? She's going to leave me. But God gave us a promise, folks. Come on now. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Because He's not basing His love, He's not basing His commitment, He's not putting the circumstances or the conditions on what we do. He's putting it on His own very word of who He is. God says, you can't do anything to make me mad or upset me. Well, I'll never stop loving you. You can't cast me away. You can't put me away. You can't stop me. Who are we to stop God from loving us? We have not the power. We can't do it. His love is infinite. always there, will always be there. There was this old Scottish woman, and she spent a lot of her time during the day by herself, and someone came up to her one time and said, "What do you do during the day?" And she says, "Well, I wake up and in the mornings," and she said, "I grab an old hymn," and she said, "I begin to sing some old hymns and some songs of praise unto God." And she said, "Then when I get tired of singing," she said, "I break out my Bible and I get to read my Bible till God speaks to me, and I just keep reading because I like to hear from God." And she said, "When I get tired of singing, when we get tired of reading," she said, "then I just sit still and get quiet and just let God love on me." I like it. Just let God love on me. Hey, man, there ain't nothing like a hug from God, is it? Ain't nothing like assurance from God. There's nothing like when you're going through a hard time in life, your heart's broken, you feel down and out, you feel sad, all of a sudden you feel God's arm, God's love wraps around you and lets you know, "Hey, I'm here. I'm here." You know what we need to do sometimes, folks? Definitely we need to sing praises unto God. Definitely we need to get in the Scriptures and read them. But sometimes we just need to sit down, shut up, and let God love on us. Amen? So we see God's love is infinite, but we see God's love is very intense. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." The Bible tells us that God loves us all the time and every time. The Bible tells us that God's love is very intense. And how you say, "Well, how do you get the intensity of that love?" Because of that little bitty word, "so." You know what that word is, you English majors? Y'all know what that word is. See, I'm a dumb old country boy from Hardin. Then I moved to Lexus and it got worse. Went to school at East Gaston. Got worse. I know you North Gaston Wildcats. Are y'all really that wild? At least we were Warriors. Y'all Wildcats. But anyway, that word "so" is a word that describes the verb love. It tells us how much. It suggests the measure of it. It tells us the length of it. It tells us the quality of this love. So that word "so" is a word that speaks of divine quality, divine measurement. In other words, it goes beyond human love. It goes beyond human understanding and beyond human reasoning. It's divine. It only can come from God. And so the Bible says that not only does God love us, but He loves us in a way that you can't even begin to comprehend or measure. Not only is it infinite, but you can't measure it in its intensity neither. You say, "Well, preacher, you act like a crazy man. You understand the love of God. It excites you, amen." Y'all remember when you were courting? I use that word courting again. I'm going to use dating the next time probably. How it just excited you just to touch the hand. Huh? Come on now. Y'all ain't that cold and disheartened that you don't like a touch. You know what I like to see in church, like that couple right there? They hugging and loving all each other. I like it. I like for a husband and wife to hold and hug. That dude right there, man, y'all been together a long time. You just loving all over. I like it. Hey, man, the kids ought to see mama and daddy in love, amen. And the church folks need to understand that God loves you and you need to let Him love on you, because His love is very deep, very intense. And He says, "I'm not just going to let you go. I'm going to prove to you and show you that I love you." And He did when we look at Calvary. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." I hope and pray that everybody here understands that God so loves you. Oh, that adverb. Oh, how it adds to the verb. Amen. How it just makes us feel like God loves us. You know, it's a difference in holding somebody's hand and be able to kiss somebody's lips. When it gets to kissing, it comes to the adverb. Amen. I ain't going no further. I'm going to tell you what, folks, when you get to glory land, and I hope you get it there, amen, when you get there, you're going to be talking about that little old word "so."
I mean, heaven's going to be in an uproar. It's going to be excited and singing and praising. People will be glorifying God for millennials because of that little old word, so. Woo! God's going to let us understand what it's really like to see Jesus face to face and get that hug from Jesus. To be able to look at Jesus and tell Him you love Him. Oh, but glory to God for Him to look down upon us while we're bowed on our knees in humility and Him to say, oh, but I loved you first. I loved you first. Oh, that just jumps all over me, folks. It don't bother y'all, does it? I hope it does. Let me go on. I'm running out of time. We see that John 3:16 teaches us that love is infinite. God's love is intense, but it's also involving. And what I mean by that, it says that He gave. In other words, God got involved in the reconciliational work. God got involved in our lives. God knew that we could not come to Him. Huh? Can you take yourself from right here at this very present and take yourself to God's house? Any of y'all have that power? Any of y'all have the power to make God feel good about you? Any of y'all, when you're dead, can make yourself come up out of the ground and join God in His glory home? No, God knows that. So what did God do? God said, I'm going to leave my house. Woo! I'm going to come to your neighborhood. And I'm going to find you in your mom and daddy's house if you was a child. I'm going to come to that old church service where that old preacher's preaching. And I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to knock on your little old heart's door. And I'm going to convince you I love you. And I'm going to convince you that you need me. And I'm going to let you experience my love. God got involved in our lives that He may save our lives. You see, folks, true love always reaches out even if someone don't reach back. Have you ever loved a sweetheart? Well, I can't say they're sweetheart because what I'm getting ready. Have you ever loved somebody and they never loved you back? Huh? It kind of hurt, didn't it? Oh, here it is. Well, I love you. As a friend. I don't want you to be my friend. I want you to be my lover. No, I'm just kidding. But God took a chance that we might love Him back. A good time right now for me to ask you, do you love God this morning? I mean, are you in love with God this morning? Oh, God got involved in our lives. And He gave His own Son. Jesus left the throne of God, came to this world through a virgin woman named Mary. Lived in this world amongst sinners. Left the glories of heaven and angelic beings praising and worshiping Him. And came to a world that cursed and spit and cruelly beat Him. Crucified Him. He left all that to say to you and to say to me, I love you. I simply love you. How much more powerful can it get? How much more convincing can it get? How can God show us any more that He loves us than the way that He did on Calvary? He's done that. And we have a hard time waking up each day and saying, I love you. We have a hard time to go throughout the day and not take a moment to say, God, I love you. To talk of Him and praise Him and worship Him, we do that. We have opportunities to come to the church among people that feel like us, that love Him like we should love Him, and get to come and sing and praise and hear God's Word being sung and God's Word being preached. We have this opportunity, and then we don't want to come. We don't want to take part. We'd rather be fishing, or we'd rather be golfing, or we'd rather cut our grass. What's wrong with us when God showed us that He loved us because of what He did on Calvary's cross? Why can't we just love Him back? Give Him our hearts. Give Him our lives. Why can't we do that? If somebody done that to your child, you would be angry and upset. Be mad. You would say, my child died that you could live. Why disrespect my child that way? We hurt that our child's life was given for you, but yet you act like it don't even bother you that He died for you. God help us that we never lose the feeling, the amazement, the excitement that God loves us that way. Oh, He loves us. His love is involved, and He involved Himself in our lives, and it's inviting as well. He says, whosoever believe in Him, God says, I invite you into my world. Go back to dating. You had somebody you wanted to get to know a little bit better. He's like, oh, I just wish they would invite me into the world. I wish I could get to know that person. The Creator of the universe. The Creator of mankind. The Infinite One. The Holy One. The Pure One. The Just One. The Righteous One. The Lover of all mankind says to you and I this word, come into my world. Come, and I will love you. I will love on you. I will give unto you. I will caress you. I will care for you. I will love you in such an intimate way, you will know me every day. Come. Be a part of what I want. I want to bless you. I want to court you. I want to love on you. I want to impress you. I want to bless you. I want to give you eternal life. Come to me and let me do this for you. Oh, what an invitation that we find in John 3:16. His love is inviting. God would not be love if He did not invite people into His world, would He? Let me move on. John 3:16 also speaks of love, which is very, very important. You say, preacher, what do you mean by important? Christ did what He did on Calvary's cross that we would not perish. There's a payment for sin, and that payment is death, hell, and eternal lake of fire. It's very important that we look upon the name of Jesus and be saved. The Bible says there's no name given among men. No one has the name of Jesus that whereby men might be saved. There's no other salvation known unto men other than the salvation that God provided on Calvary's cross. And folks, it's very important that you receive the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Because the Bible says if you don't receive that invitation, you will perish. I really don't have the time to talk about that word perish, but it actually means destruction. To be done away with. To be demolished. In other words, the ultimate goal for everyone that will perish will end up in the lake of fire. And there will you experience the burning torments of hell, lake fire forever and ever and ever. But the worst part of it all is be separated from the very presence of Almighty God forever. But the flip side of that, if you receive that invitation, If you do like the thief did that day that he was dying, he said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your paradise. If you would just receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you go from that destruction side to the construction side. God starts doing a work in you, folks, and He does a work in you. And the Bible says that He will finish the work that He will do, and He will take you to glory land. Amen. Forever there, you'll be with God. Receive the invitation. Accept that invitation of God. And I want to bring out my last point here. Oh, that's just 11 o'clock. I got to 12 o'clock. The last point of this passage of Scripture is God's love is so amazing. He imparts to us. He said, but hath everlasting love. Can you give yourself everlasting life? Can you position yourselves in the throne of God? But God says, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible says, if you will receive that invitation, He says, you'll not perish. That's just good enough as it is, amen. Hey, it would be good enough to not to suffer the lake of fire and just go to a grave and die. That's a plus. Just die. And please, for those who lost loved ones, I'm not trying to be disrespectful about that by no means. I'm just trying to bring a point home. It would be good enough to just escape the eternal torments of the lake of fire and just die. But God loves us so much. He says, I'm going to impart a blessing on you. I'm going to give you eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, I put a few things down. It means it has no beginning or no ending. Once God gives it to you, boom, it's there forever. It means you're immortal. By the way, for those who have just lost loved ones, let me remind you, if those people knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're not dead. The Bible says, and I trust what the Bible says more than what I say, the Bible says they're asleep. Glory to God, that means what? They're going to wake up. Amen. It means continuance without intermission, without interruption, unchangeable, existing at all times. The day that you got saved, you became immortal. The day that you got saved, God says, I give you eternal life. I'm not going to come and take it away from you. I give it to you. You have it. And now you're going to live forever. Not just here on this earth. That'd kind of be kind of good. I like what old Kenneth Rodden said. He said, I'm a pretty good Christian, I think. That's what he said. He said, I think. He said, kind of like it down here. The only life I know is this one. Kind of like it. Read the Bible, know the things about what the Bible says about heaven. Kind of get excited about it. Want to go there? Someday. I like it here, though. I'm excited about what God has prepared for us, but you probably like me. Kind of like it here, too. But God's got something better than what we got now. The life we have, yeah, it's filled with heartaches and troubles, but it's the best that we know. It's the only life we have. It can be enjoyable, but don't even compare to what God has prepared for us in heaven. Don't even compare. God imparts a blessing. Put your faith in Christ, and you too will experience the love of God like you've never known before. Until you trust Christ as your Savior, you'll truly not really understand what I've been saying today. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God's Spirit moves within you, then God begins to love you. And you get to experience God's love And it changes you forever, doesn't it? Forever. Let me conclude. Thank God for John 3:16 in the Bible. Amen. It's very encouraging. Very encouraging. Thank God for Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey, but the greater part of that is thank God that He lives in me. You can say that same phrase. Say, thank God. He lives in me. Hallelujah. It'd be nice if He lived in you. But if He didn't live within me, then I would be most miserable. But I kind of like the fact not only does He live in me, I kind of like the fact that He lives within you too. Because that means we get to share heaven together. Amen. Amen. Thank God that Christ can enter your heart if He's never done it. What I'm saying to you this morning, if you're here today and you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, simply say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I trust in You to save my soul. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do it today. I'd encourage you to simply, as the thief did on the cross, Lord, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. Lord, I believe in You. And that's more than just a mental knowledge. It's a knowledge that you say, Lord, I'm going to come after You. I'm going to change my ways and come after You. Live for You. The only thing that can make you perish is you to reject Christ. Reject Him. Which leads me to once again invite you to Christ. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done, the life I've lived. It don't matter, folks. I never did tell you, not one time in this message today, that God's love towards you is dependent upon who you are and what you are and what you've done. Never said it, not one time. God don't care about your past. He'll forgive you for everything that you've ever done. That's not the problem. All you need to do is just say, God, forgive me, like the song said. Maybe you're here today and you're saved. But you're not living. You're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. You don't need to go into a list of things of that you've done. Just simply say, God, forgive me for the sins I've committed against You. You remember when Jesus give the illustration of the Pharisees and publican, not the Republican, but publican. He said the prayer that God heard is when the one said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Would you come today and ask God to forgive you of your sins, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved? If you're saved, just simply say, God, I'm still amazed that You love. Give Him a little praise. Amen. Give Him an attaboy. Amen. Give Him something. Amen. But if your life is not right, then just simply say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. Let's pray. Father, we come to this invitation. It's a very trying time. The devil's going to work hard to convince people not to pray, not to come to an altar, not to ask for repentance, not to be repentant, not to ask for forgiveness, not to give Him praise and honor and worship. All these things are going to work against people in the next minute or so. But God, I pray that people will respond to this invitation in a way that You want them to. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. The altar's open. I'm sure the church don't make